Well, we know that 11% of the global burden of disease is injury is responsible for that. We know that 90% of injuries occur in low middle income countries. We are low middle income countries, so it's one of those things. And I think because in poorly resourced settings like the Pacific, it's difficult for us with a whole lot of issues going on all at once, and trying to prioritize where do we spend our money, the small amount of money that we have, but. The big challenge for injuries, I think, has been more around data, not being able to sort of describe to funding agencies, to policymakers, what that looked like. We knew anecdotally that we had a problem, but we just didn't know how big the problem was.
Do you think there definitely has to be a little bit of an attitude change around road traffic safety?
In terms of the attitude, I wonder whether it's more raising the public conscience and the politicians' conscience around what it is that we can do. Because some people, you know, one of the things, first things, we call it accidents when we should think, no, it's preventable, so it shouldn't be an accident. So the terminology is one of those things with road traffic crashes. I think for us, the conscience around, the community conscience around road traffic crashes has moved. We've decided it's not acceptable in the Cook Islands. And I think in Papua New Guinea, perhaps the community level of engagement now is reaching that level where, okay, enough's enough. Let's do something about it.
And look, like you said, it is very hard to get those exact statistics. But from what you found, who is it that, I guess, is most at risk? Is it young people, old people? Who is it that who is driving the most dangerously, I guess?
In terms of road users, the pedestrians are always the most vulnerable road users, and then followed by motorbike riders. Now, in the Pacific, most of our people are on four-wheel vehicles, four-wheel drives, cars, trucks. In some countries like the Cook Islands, a lot of our population are on motorbikes. And so when we don't have helmets on those motorbike drivers, then we put ourselves at more risk than others. Now, it's different for each of the countries of the Pacific, but common things that come through, young men are involved and die early, prematurely. The head injuries are the big problems, and because of seatbelts not being enforced well, chest contusions or chest injuries are big issues for us.
And Josephine, I'm wondering, in a country like the Cook Islands, what are the kind of driving tests like?
Well, we looked at not just the road users, the drivers, the pedestrians, but we also looked at the vehicles that we use. How well are they maintained? Warrant of fitness, all those kinds of things we take for granted in high-income countries. We drive in on roads that are poorly maintained for the most of our Pacific countries. So a lot of times we blame the driver or the road users when we should be looking at all the other things that are also compounding this whole issue around road traffic injuries. The social environment is a big one for us in terms of our association of alcohol with driving. And I think those are some of the big key preventative measures we could probably push a bit harder.
It definitely sounds like a very, very, like you said, very complex, so many different factors overlapping. There must be some knock-on effects from bad driving. If someone does get into an accident, even if they do survive, there's always a good chance that there might be some knock-on health effects.
And you've got it correctly. Those knock-on effects include the poverty cycle that many of our people get fall into and get trapped in. For us, you have one person, say a 16-year-old boy, involved in a road crash, and then he has some major injury to his body. He gets transferred, say, for example, to New Zealand, if he's, you know, fortunate to survive the injury in the first instance. And then it's his whole family that has to move if he cannot return back to the islands for all sorts of, you know, with disability perhaps that cannot be looked after in the Cook Islands. So we know that there's a whole social and economic problem that gets carried along with the injury itself. The disability burden is even more significant. There's a lot of work to be done. We know it's happening, but it's finding time and energy and more of our people working in this space to try and overcome a preventative issue that is something that we shouldn't really be seeing a lot of today.